Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Glad you tuned in. Happy Thursday. I hope you've had a great week so far. Well, we've got an amazing show planned for you today. First half hour, we'll be joined by Johnny Erickson Tada. She's got a brand new devotional book out that is beautiful inside and out. It's called Beside Bethesda, 31 Days Towards Deeper Healing. We'll get her on in a moment. We'll have her on for the first half hour of the show. In the second half hour, you're going to be my guest. We're going to play some songs, and I'm going to take your calls, and I want to hear from you. What is God teaching you these days? I always love to hear from you, and it's so often when you call in and share what it is God is saying to you, you speak to somebody else because he wants to work through all of us. And so as you have the courage to just call in, you can even call anonymously. Just get ready, though. Call in at the bottom of the hour at 3:30, 3:30 to 4. We'll take your calls. We'll play some songs. If you get on the air, you'll get a book off of our Faith Radio shelf. And then a second hour, we're going to talk to Dave Carter again about how to affair-proof your marriage. You know that there are risky behaviors in marriage. There's even a risky profile for you, the kind of person maybe you'd be vulnerable to. He's got some great insight as a counselor who's worked with countless couples who've walked through infidelity. He's really gathered some information that we need to know about affair-proofing our marriage. So powerful show today. Quick note now before I get Johnny on. Coming up in 2 weeks, I'll be speaking at a women's conference at Bethel Church in the Fargo-Moorhead area. That is October 3rd and 4th. I would love to meet you face-to-face. More information is on my Facebook page, so check it out. I hope I can meet you. All right, let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get this conversation started. Johnny Erickson Tada is the founder of Johnny and Friends, an organization accelerating Christian outreach in the worldwide disability community. She's an advocate, artist, and author of 47 books, including The God I Love and Diamonds in the Dust. She and her husband, Ken, have been married since 1982 and live in California. You can find her influencer page at our website at myfaithradio.com. Johnny, welcome back to the program. So good to have you again today.
Good to be with you and, of course, with our listeners as well.
Well, we love to start out our conversation talking scripture, and you chose a passage from 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 through 12. I don't know if you have it in front of you, otherwise I can read it, but then I'd love for you to speak to it. Do you want me to read it?
Well, I know it by heart.
You do. Let's hear it.
Yep, it's from the Phillips translation. I memorized it years ago, and it says, "Though we are handicapped on all sides, we are not crushed. Though we are perplexed, we are not in despair. Though we are persecuted, we are not abandoned. Though we are knocked down, we are not knocked out. For every day we experience something of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that in turn we might experience the power of the life of Jesus in these bodies of ours." And boy, is that Bible verse my motto as I go throughout the day.
I can only imagine. Speak more about that passage because, you know, it's not so often we have a wrong theology on suffering. That's one of the many things I appreciate about your ministry. And we really try to debunk that here on the show because so often we tend to think if a person is blessed, it's because they have a great amount of faith. And if a person is struggling, they don't. And that's so opposite. I mean, we want to talk to people who are suffering. There's so much we can learn. And Paul expresses, you know, we're crushed and perplexed on every side, but God is the strength of our heart. So just talk about that passage, especially for the person who's in that valley of suffering right now.
Well, you know, many, many Christians have bought into the world's idea of good, believing that God would never intend injury or harm. But experience shows us that this just isn't true. I mean, some of the most godly saints are Christians who have suffered terribly. So what does the Bible mean when it uses the word good? I mean, in Psalm 84, it says, "No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." And in Jeremiah 32, God says, "I'll rejoice in doing them good with all my heart and soul." Well, what does that word good mean? Well, simply this: God intends all things for the good of our souls. Mm. He will never allow anything to harm or injure our soul. For God has taken away the only kind of suffering that could ever really damage us, and that is separation from him. And this means that now all suffering that comes our way is designed by God to make our souls great and courageous. And honestly, grasping that important principle has helped me see that there are just more important things in life than having use of your hands or your legs or walking. And that's the deeper healing I talk about in this book, Beside Bethesda.
And I would love for you just to talk about the inspiration behind this particular book. There's so much about it I appreciate, and we'll talk about in the next several minutes. But just when was this born in your heart, and how did it come about?
Well, years ago when I was in the hospital, I would spend sleepless nights, so many nights, picturing the scene at the Pool of Bethesda from John chapter 5. Some of our listeners might recognize that passage as the place where many sick and diseased and disabled people used to gather, hoping that once the, quote, angel stirred the waters, they might be able to be healed. Well, I would imagine myself among that crowd of sick and disabled people. I mean, I pictured myself there. I saw myself dressed in a rough burlap cloak, maybe lying on a straw mat next to that paralyzed man who had been disabled for 38 years. I pictured that. I imagined myself among that crowd, all of them looking to be healed. But as often as I dreamed about rising to my feet, God's answer to my prayers, my request for a physical healing, remained no. And, oh, my goodness, I teetered on the edge of bitterness and depression, but something inside me whispered, search deeper, look further. God is always true to his word. And sure enough, my greatest disappointment turned out to be an open door to great delight. And it happened when I began asking God, okay, if I'm not going to be healed physically, then what kind of healing are you talking about? And he has shown me in an amazing way. In fact, may I talk quickly about God's
Please.
Priorities?
Oh, I would love it.
Well, you know, we know that Jesus healed many people. And, of course, when we read Scripture and see how he healed, we automatically assume that that's what Jesus wants to do with us. But there's that incredible portion of Scripture where the same Son of God who healed withered hands and healed blind eyes, the same man said, if that hand leads you into sin, then cut it off. Mm-hmm. If that eye leads you astray, then gouge it out. Right there shows us God's priorities. I always thought physical healing was the big deal, but obviously God thinks a spiritual healing, a soul healing, is a much, much bigger deal.
And you make that so clear. One of the many things I love about this book is, first of all, it's just beautiful. But these short readings where you combine your story, you combine Scripture and then teaching application, all in these short readings, and they all just pack a punch. And one thing, Johnny, I just love is that you do bring us back to these earlier days and you draw wisdom from those places. So you kind of paint the picture. I remember in the days following the accident where the reality of your reality was setting in. You had friends going off to college, taking trips, and you were left with the pain and the heartbreak of the accident. I want you just to talk about those days following and really what you were dealing with and how God met you in those places.
Well, I was so disappointed that I could not experience a physical healing that when I got out of the hospital and went to live on the family farm with my sister Jay, I would say to her in the morning, I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to. I just close the drapes, turn out the light, and shut the door. And for several weeks, I just laid in the dark, depressed and discouraged. But then I just realized I can't live like this. I cannot do that. I can't live. What human being can live with such hopelessness? And so in that darkness, I prayed, God, if I'm not going to die, and if you're not going to heal me, then you've got to show me how to live, because I cannot do quadriplegia. I'm the least likely candidate to enjoy life in a wheelchair, so you're going to have to do something miraculous. And, of course, the next morning I asked my sister to draw the drapes, turn on the light, open the door, get me in my wheelchair, and she pushed me to the living room where there was a black music stand, you know, that they use in church choirs. And she plopped on it a big Bible, put my mouth stick in my mouth, situated my wheelchair right in front of it, and I would flip, with that mouth stick, I would flip the pages of the Bible this way and that, looking for what this deeper healing was all about. And oh my goodness, I've been on the journey ever since, and it's been quite amazing.
That is so amazing too. Another thing, in one of the readings you mentioned how at first the structured routine you had in the hospital kept your mind engaged, but when you did move to the farm, it seemed those days blended together and it was easy to lose heart. But then your friend Steve shared this verse with you. I was reading this last night and I actually gasped out loud because your insight was so precious to me. But your friend Steve shared the verse, 2 Peter 3:8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Do you remember how that verse impacted you? Talk about that a little bit.
Oh, yes. Well, we all know the old adage that God looks at the last couple of 1,000 years as just a few days gone by. But rarely do we think about the flip side of that verse, the other side of the coin, which says that each day is worth 1,000 years. Think about that, my friend Steve told me. It means that every smile you offer, every tiny little bit of drastic obedience that you give God, every small step you take forward, every faint whispering of a prayer, so fragile and so delicate, every small thing, oh my goodness, Johnny, that could pan out to at least 559 years of eternal benefit to you, encouragement to others, and glory for God. And when I started to look at life that way, it really helped me see how precious our days are, how God has given us each 24-hour slice of time to invest in eternity and everything. Everything we do, everything we pray, think, decide, choose, everything we do down here on earth has a direct bearing on our eternal state in heaven. And I do not want to diminish my eternal estate. If anything, I want to enlarge my eternal capacity for joy and worship and service in heaven. And if it requires gritting my teeth and moving forward through chronic pain every day, I will do it because my Savior has paved the way. He has given me his path. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says that he has left me an example that I should follow in his steps. And if he's going to bring me to the trial, you better believe he's going to bring me through it.
Indeed. Oh, my goodness. I love that. As you're talking, I'm thinking of the scripture that says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And, Johnny, I'd studied that. And to number our days is to appoint the day. It's to reclaim the day. It's to honor the day. There's so many words that go with this, but you think about, I mentioned this in the show yesterday, how much time we spent fretting over the past or worrying about the future, but we have today. And when you put that in the context of your insight of a day being like thousands of years, our obedience, our offerings, we have today. If we could get a picture of that, we wouldn't minimize how our responses look today, what our offerings look like today, would we?
Oh, absolutely no. You know, I don't want us to get to heaven and see all the amazing things God accomplished through the most faintest, feeble prayers that we offered up. Mm. I mean, when we see what God has done through our prayers, I don't want to be one who smacks my head and thinks, oy vey, I cannot believe I did not pray more. Yeah. Why didn't I pray more? You know, I don't want to get up there and have regrets. And I know that, even for the elderly woman who's languishing in a wheelchair in a nursing home and thinking, my life is over, it has no purpose, there's no reason to go on, yes, there is. If God has given her or me or you the breath of life to face each day, then you better believe he's got a plan and a purpose because he's a God of intention. And his intent is that through our prayers, for the people around us, for the places of work, for the folks in our community, for God's agenda in the world, God is using our prayers. And no matter how weak and limited our prayer life seems, God's doing great things through it. So, friend, that's enough reason right there to keep living.
You know, and you're such a good example of feisty faith. I constantly say, you know, that he is with us in our weakness, but there's a certain amount of grit in battle that's required where we just say, I'm not giving up hope. I mean, I'm going to put my feet right here, and I'm not moving until he moves me. And I just think that's so beautiful. In fact, you wrote about a young friend of yours named Jennifer and her story. Amazed, but I think you wrote that, I think at 3 years old, a swing set hit her and made her a quadriplegic on a ventilator. And she wrote to you and said, I'm losing heart, have these bed sores. how do I do this? And you said, don't lose focus. And you talked to her about memorizing scripture. I want you just to talk about that, Johnny, because, again, I sensed a grit as I was reading that, because when we're in those places where we're just so beat up, we want to just sort of unhitch and let our thoughts go rogue. It seems easier, but it's so detrimental. That, of all times, is when we need to get focused. So say a word about that.
Well, I love the way you put it. Our thoughts can go rogue. And, you know, because we are made in the flesh, you better believe constantly our thoughts are going to be scattered and shattered and wandering, and they're certainly not going to be focused. It's just not in our human tendency, which is why every morning when I wake up, and maybe I shared this with you the last time we spoke, but it is so hard to face another day of somebody else coming into my bedroom, giving me a bed bath, doing my toileting routine, strapping on my corset, pulling up my slacks, slinging me in the wheelchair, pushing me to the bathroom, brushing my teeth, brushing my hair. I'm overwhelmed before I'm even out of bed. Mm. So I often tell people, don't be thinking I'm a strong person. I am not. When I wake up, I am weak and feeble, but I know enough that in my weakness, if I cast it upon Jesus, he will make me strong. And so I say, Lord Jesus, I have no smile for this girl who's going to come in the bedroom in a minute with a cup of coffee and give me a bed bath. I have no joy for her, but you do. So please let me borrow your joy.
Mm.
And you know, he does. By 7:35 in the morning, I've got his joy. And on my way to work in the van, I will recite the Apostles' Creed. I will recite the Nicene Creed. I will recite memorized prayers, such as we did at the top of the half hour. I will just get my mind on focus. And that is a great way to wake up in the morning. That is a good way to wake up. It's a Christian way to wake up in the morning, needing Jesus desperately and then marshaling all of the grace that he gives to help you focus on him throughout the rest of the day.
Mm, wow. And I've said this before, we're all that desperate. It's just the reality of it for you is so significant that you know it fully, far more than we do. But here's another quote from your book, and I love this. Jesus' ceaseless watch care and compassion for us is no fantasy. And that's a reality. And I'd just love for you to just maybe give an example. I mean, you just did with your morning routine, but just in your everyday life, when you turn to him, how you find his grace and his mercy.
Well, yesterday my hip was really hurting, and I had to ask my girls here at the office, my coworkers, to please come into the restroom and, you know, adjust my corset, loosen this, tighten that, adjust my leg, pull my hip over. And while they were doing that, I was singing, all the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me on the living bread. And that's how I keep the focus during the day, no matter if it's pain in this wheelchair or a deep disappointment in life or a challenge that I don't feel I'm able to meet. I often turn to obviously memorized scriptures, but also memorized hymns and praise music and worship songs. The words to these worship songs and hymns are so powerful. Many of them are packed with great doctrine of the faith. And so I think it's a way of praying without ceasing, going through the day and doing as Ephesians tells us to do, sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. It's a wonderful way to keep your focus on the author and the perfecter of your faith hour by hour.
Mm. Talking to Johnny Erickson Tata today. She's got a beautiful, brand new devotional beside Bethesda, 31 Days Toward Deeper Healing. We've got a few copies to give away. I want to give Johnny all this time since we only have her for the first half hour. So if you call in next half hour, we'll get you a copy of Johnny's new book. Well, on day 10, the reading on day 10, the title is When You Are Squeezed. And Johnny, you talk about those tired middle years of marriage, which were amplified for you, given your disability and the demands that go with it. And I appreciate when you came on last time, how honest you and Ken were about those years and just the toll it took on Ken and how you guys kind of found your footing again. So talk about that particular chapter, When You Are Squeezed.
Well, I remember in the very early years of our marriage, Ken was just starting to feel the crunch of the nonstop 24/7 day-to-day routines. Now, to be sure, I had girlfriends back then helping me in the morning and evening, just as I do now. But the bulk, the weight, the psychological pressure really rested on my husband. And I'll never forget one night he sat on the edge of our bed and slump-shouldered confessed to me, "I feel trapped. I can't do this. I just feel so trapped." And my response back then, so many years ago, was, "Well, I can't believe you're saying that. Where was your head when we got married? Didn't you know it was going to be this hard? What in the world were you thinking?" Mm. And as soon as I spat those words out, I wish I could have stuffed them back in my mouth. And I said to Ken, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have barked at you. That was terrible of me. That's not like me." But you know what? It is like me. It's just like me. And so God will use our hardships, our painful places, to squeeze us like a lemon. And out comes all this sour stuff inside of us. Oh, we would like to think we are paragons of virtue. Really, we would. But when push comes to shove and the pressures begin encroaching, sometimes what is revealed is selfishness, spitefulness, resentment, self-pity. And when that happened, I began to see, oh, my goodness, oh, my, I need a change. There is some ugliness in my heart that needs to be confessed before God and dealt with. And so from then on out, I said to Ken, "Would you please help me see my blind spots? I'm going to trust you that you, out of love, are going to point out to me things in my life that you think need to be changed." And bless his heart, he did. And, you know, what is so funny, because not long ago, a couple of years ago, when we were going through chemotherapy, and I had to turn many times at night, he got up, and he was so tired, and he sat on the edge of our bed, and slump-shouldered, he confessed, "Johnny, I'm so tired. I don't think I can do this. I feel so trapped." And this time, my response was, "Oh, sweetheart, I don't blame you one bit. If I were you, I'd feel exactly the same way. So I'm not going to fault you. I'm not going to scold you. I just want you to know I am with you in this. And I'm going to do everything I can to cheer you on, to provide as much outside help as I can to support our marriage. Just know that we're going to do this. We're going to get through this by the grace of God. I am on your side." What a 180-degree turn of about face that was from those early days of our marriage. And I think that came from recognizing the sin in my life that needed to be uprooted. And every day, this is our job. This is our task. I do not want to be the same Johnny that I was yesterday. I want to be a different Johnny today. I want to be a Johnny that reflects Jesus more. And that means making some tough choices. It means asking forgiveness. If I offend someone with a slip of the tongue, it means choosing the right course, putting no worthless thing before my eyes, such as the food channel every night. You know, I mean, it just means some tough choices. But I'm committed to get actively engaged in my growth in Christ with the Holy Spirit. He's on my side to do that, and I want to get partnered with him.
And I remember Ken saying that he really found himself walking through a time of depression. And when your cancer came, how you guys just kind of clung to the Lord and clung to each other, he just realized afresh what a treasure he has in you. And so while many on the outside were going, how could God allow this to happen to this family? And we all wondered that. But still, as you testified, you found a deeper footing, a stronger footing with the Lord. Ken found a fresh treasure in you, and you leaned in, as you always seem to do. And you guys came through that valley stronger, didn't you?
Oh, we really did. We really did. And maybe I shared this with you the last time on the program, but it bears repeating. One day I was coming home from chemotherapy, and I was exhausted. I was nauseous. I was faint-hearted. My hair was falling out. And we started talking about how suffering is like little splashovers of hell. And then when we pulled up into the driveway and he turned off the ignition, in the quiet, we started talking about, well, then what are splashovers of heaven? Are they those easy, breezy, bright days where everything is fine and there are no problems on the horizon? And we decided, no, the splashovers of heaven are finding Jesus in your splashover of hell.
Wow.
There's nothing more sweet, nothing more tender and poignant than finding Jesus in the middle of your hell. And we all go through hell. Our listeners today, I know there are some listening who are going through hellish circumstances. But oh, to know that your Savior is standing with you. He is Emmanuel, God with us, in the midst of our hell. There's nothing more precious than that.
Well, Johnny, we want to respect your time. We only have you for a half hour. God bless you, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, and thanks for your good word about beside Bethesda.
Mm-hmm. You're a good, good gal. Blessed sister in Christ, be blessed. Thanks for joining us. This is Live the Promise. Thanks for tuning in today. If you missed my first half-hour conversation with Johnny Erickson Tada, you might want to catch the podcast on our website here in a little bit, myfaithradio.com. We've got four copies of Johnny's new devotional, Beside Bethesda, 31 Days Toward Deeper Healing. So for this half hour, you are my guest. So I want to know, what's God teaching you these days? How is he speaking to you these days? Give me a call. We've got copies of Johnny's book, other books off of our Faith Radio shelf. We're also going to play some music intermingled with this half hour, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or you can email me at Susie@myfaithradio.com, Susie@myfaithradio.com. I was just thinking about what Johnny said about, you know, when her husband was wondering, I don't know if I can handle this anymore. It's just so hard. And her initial response, which, you know, you would feel that way, wouldn't you? Just, what were you thinking? Because it's so hard to be in somebody's debt. But just for her to just kind of look at that as an opportunity to grow in the Lord. I think it's a foreign thing. It's a lost art to be humble, to be repentant, because we're so quick to blame, so quick to defend. We don't want to be wrong. But guess what? Sometimes we are wrong. We don't want to be unloving, but sometimes we are. And I memorized a poem. It's a prayer from a pastor from the 1800s. His name is Reverend J.C. Lavater, and it goes like this. O Jesus Christ, grow thou in me, and all things else recede. My daily... I prayed every day, and I'm just having a blank. O Jesus Christ, grow thou in me, and all things else recede. My heart grow daily nearer thee. From sin be daily freed. May this poor soul grow less and less. Be thou my life, my aim. O make me daily through thy grace more worthy of thy name. Do you have the courage to just, as you spend some time with God, to pray, God, show me how you want to increase and you want me to decrease? It's a powerful exercise because it's not condemnation. It's an invitation to be more with Christ. And when our flesh dies, I'm telling you, there gives more room for the Spirit of God to move in and through us. So we're going to play some songs too through this half hour, but I really want to hear from you. What is the Lord teaching you? He is teaching me that just to get small, to just be with him, to be very sensitive to just nuances of selfishness, of sinfulness, so that I can be quick to get before him. What about you? 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Let me hear from you. Also, the song we're going to play here in a moment is from Selah. We had them on recently. Love the brand new album, You Amaze Us. This song is titled We Must Not. And this is about just, we can't keep the gospel from anyone. And my heart has been so for the persecuted church for many years, but especially lately when you consider what we're hearing in the news, what ISIS is doing to Christians and to children. And so we need to be praying. In fact, Jesus asked us to be praying for our brothers and sisters around the world. And so, and yet because of different guests that we've had on, my perspective has really changed about how I pray. We don't pray that they be rescued. They don't want you to pray that they'll be extracted from that place. They want you to pray that they'll have courage, that they'll have conviction, that their oppressors would have a change of heart, and that the gospel would go forth. That's what they want us to pray. And Selah captured it beautifully. And in their conversation with Nick Ripken, who we've had on the show, he's a guy who's really changed my perspective on the persecuted church. They wrote this song and is absolutely amazing. I'm going to give you the phone number one more time and we'll hear it. 877-933-2484. Let me hear from you. Otherwise, let's listen to We Must Not.
Come now, let us reason together. There is work to be done. There's a lot of evil around us. I can feel the darkness coming on. It's coming on strong. But the Father's love is deeper still, and the whole wide world is a mission field. Take my hand, let's hold each other up.
Not keep the gospel from anyone. Isn't that a powerful song by Selah? I want you to think about that. One of the things the enemy loves to do is to just single us out and make us feel we're so alone. And you know what? We are no match for that enemy apart from Christ, but we're not apart from Christ. If we're in Christ, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. He has you. He loves you. And I think about David facing Goliath. Goliath was spewing those insults. And it was so interesting how David really didn't even acknowledge those things. He asked this question, who is this Philistine who dares defy the armies of the living God? I think we can learn something from David that way, because the enemy wants to single us out. But David stayed in rank. Even though he was a young boy out in a field by himself, he saw himself among the armies of the living God. So I don't know what you're dealing with today, but if you are in Christ and Christ is in you, you're in the army of heaven. All of heaven is on your side. Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. God is on your side. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? I love Psalm 27. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I be afraid? The Lord is the fortress, my fortress protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surround me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the one thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfection and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when trouble comes. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach, high on a rock. Then I will hold my head high above the enemy who surrounds me." 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. John's calling in from North Dakota. John, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. Just wanted to share, try to make it short. I asked the Lord, what do I need to do to come closer to him? And he showed me this morning that, it has to do with my relationship with my mother. And I must have wept for 20 minutes this morning before I went to work. And it's like I just, I don't know how to explain it, but just I don't know how to fix it. And I don't think I was meant to fix the relationship. I think I have to leave it up to the Lord. Yeah. I think that's what he was trying to show me.
Well, you know, Scripture talks about, you know, to be at peace as far as it concerns you. And if you feel like you've done that, everything that you can do, it is amazing how the enemy will still try to bring in a wedge to make you think then you've got a barrier between you and the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Where, because it's so hard to be, I don't know what kind of conflict or whatever's going on with your mom, but I've noticed that, John, where if you're in conflict with someone else, the enemy tries to make that a disqualifier for being close to the Lord. And I do think our fellowship is interrupted when we're in an issue with somebody that we're not doing our part. But if you've done what you feel like you've done, and really at this point it's up to God, then we just have to pray and put that lie under your feet that the enemy is keeping you from closeness to the Lord. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Can I pray for you?
Yes.
Okay. Father, I just thank you for John, and I thank you that he cares so much about closeness and oneness with you that he would seek your face about it. And I thank you, God, that you have shown him that you are faithful, that you love him. Lord, I want to thank you that you are fond of John, that you really are fond of him. You love him. He's your son. And you've made him for a purpose. Thank you, God, for that. I just pray that you would bless his mom and you'd help to bring healing in this relationship. Work in her heart in the ways that she needs it. Show John if there's more he needs to do. But otherwise, I pray he could lay this thing at your feet and then press on to know your heart, to know you more and enjoy deep and rich fellowship with you while he waits for the breakthrough. But I just thank you, God, that he's your son and that you love him and that you draw near to him as he draws near to you. So I just pray for a new level of intimacy and fellowship with you in the coming days, Lord. Bless him and draw him in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, John, for calling. God bless you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So I want you to think about that. Greater is he who's in you than he that is in the world. And when you think about the enemy singling you out, saying, this is what disqualifies you, or I'm going to get you, you stay in rank and you remember that greater are those who are for you than those who are against you. So the next song I want to play is by Lincoln Brewster. I love this. So much good music is coming out these days. I'm just saying. This song is called On Our Side, but I'm going to give the phone number one more time, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Let's hear Lincoln Brewster's song, On Our Side. I'm telling you, it's an anthem. Sing along with it as you hear it.
Our fears we surrender for.
Love that song. Taking your call today, just hearing what God is teaching you these days, listening to some music. Had a great conversation first half hour with Johnny Erickson Tada. During the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about how to affair-proof your marriage. But just having some fun with you today. Rick is calling in from Sioux Falls. Rick, welcome. You're on the air.
Well, thank you, Susie.
How are you doing?
I just wanted to give you a word of encouragement. I really, really appreciate your program. My wife and I listen anytime we get a chance. I spend a lot of time on the road, and those hours from 3 to 5 go by so quick.
Wow. Well, Rick, thank you so much for the call and the encouragement. I really appreciate it. And for waiting on hold just to tell me that. Thank you for that.
Yes, keep up the good work.
I sure will. And we'll send you money. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Your sense of humor is amazing. I love it.
Oh, good.
So keep it up.
Thank you, sir. We are going to get you a copy of Johnny's book, though. And that's not bribery, I'm just saying.
Okay.
Bless you, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, we're going to try to squeeze in one more song, and this one is from Stephen Curtis Chapman. This one got me through a pretty deep valley, I will tell you. It's about taking another step and then taking another step. But first, I got to read from Romans 5. Listen to this. Therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, listen to this, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. Hear that again. Because of our faith, Jesus Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. So we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too then when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Another translation calls endurance perseverance, but we can't mature without having to endure, without having to persevere. It's something that builds that grit in our soul. And so if you might be in that place where you're just feeling like you want to just camp out and sit on your rump and go, enough, I'm not moving another step, I'm exhausted. Well, God will give you the grace. He'll meet you in your weakness. And sometimes you just got to take the next step and then the next step. And eventually, God will meet you on that path. Eventually, you'll get to your next place of promise. Let's hear this song. I'm going to give you the number 877-933-2484. Maybe time for one more call before the end of the hour.
Well, the band was playing, the flags were waving, and there you were in the middle of a sunny day parade. The crowds were cheering, the sky was clear, not a worry in the world. Marching on, sure and steady, strong and straight. Another step and another step and another step. Then the lightning flashed, the thunder crashed, and suddenly it began to rain and everybody ran. Then the sky went black as midnight and you couldn't see, paralyzed by what you just can't understand. And now here you are, you're afraid to move. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to do.
right. I love that song. I hope it encouraged you as well. That was Stephen Curtis Chapman. We're going to play one more song and squeeze it in before the top of the hour by Hillsong called Still. Just want you to hear this from Romans 8. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us when God has chosen us for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything separate us from his love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger? As the scripture says, for your sake we're killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Let's hear Still, a great song. Want to say a quick prayer for you before we go into the next hour. Lord, I just pray for my friend who's in the valley of the shadow. God in heaven, I pray you pour out your spirit in a fresh new way. Open their eyes to see the wonder of your love, the promise of your provision, and the power of your strength. God, I pray that each of us would find our faith and our strength in you, no matter what we're going through, because it matters that we have faith in the valley. You are with us. You are for us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, you've been listening to Hour 1 of Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. Hope you found some encouragement here today. Well, Hour 2, we've got a really important show, bringing back Dave Carter to talk about what adulterers want you to know about protecting your marriage. You're going to be very interested, I think, to hear from Dave, because there are ways, even if you think you have a strong marriage, there's things you can do to strengthen your marriage, shore it up, and protect it from downfall. Don't go away. Dave Carter is up next for Hour 2 of Live the Promise.